again greet you this morning and in the name of Jesus. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to go to verse 14 this morning. And I again like for you to stand as we read Ephesians 3:14 to the end, if it's comfortable for you to stand. Verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." You may be seated. I've titled my message this morning, "A Prayer for Spiritual Growth." And this morning I can share this message because I have attained. I am spiritually sound. If you believe that this morning, I want you to back up really quick. Because I have not attained. I'm still breathing. You have not attained. We all need to grow spiritually. There's never a time when we can come to a place where we say, "Now I have got it. I'm there." If you come to that place, I'd like to talk to you. Because we never reach the place while we're living where we have come to a plane where now we can coast. We always want to continue to grow. I'm not saying that we aren't victorious in our walk. We are. We can be victorious in our walk. But we are continually needing to grow. Paul here says in verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, for this cause..." He had just got done talking to the Ephesian people in the first three chapters there, the beginning of those, how that they can have, the Gentiles can also have salvation, just as the Jews could. And Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father." I don't know about you, but I like peace. I don't like conflict. Some of us are made that conflict sharpens us. But the rest of us that have different giftings, we don't like conflict. We like when things are peaceful. I'm the kind of person that would like for somebody to come bring me a nice cold glass of lemonade and not have to deal with the lemons. So much easier. But life is not all lemonade. We get frustrated when we're throwing a curveball. We like to know what's coming. Too many times I get upset, I'm not sure about you, but I get upset because I didn't see it come. I got hit and I didn't realize where it came from. Maybe this is the way that God is asking us to grow spiritually. Trust in me. The battles that we face sometimes can be things that strengthen us. Maybe He's asking us to look to Him and allow this battle that we face to strengthen us, to make us strong, to grow spiritually. God tells Joshua in Joshua, the first chapter, He says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel." Moses had done his part. Now he's gone. And it says, "Joshua, now it's time for you to pick up the reins. I want you to take your children, your people here, the children of Israel, and I want you to move out." Joshua had to make a choice. I don't see in this scripture where Joshua fell to his feet or fell to his face and he prayed to God. Instead, Joshua made a choice. You go on down to verse 10 there in the first chapter of Joshua. Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, prepare you victuals. Prepare yourself. We're moving out." Joshua obeyed. That's part of spiritual growth. He was willing to obey. His actions was to give an order to those in his command to make preparation for the departure. We're preparing for life. We're preparing for battles. We're preparing for all of this by some of the growth that we have to face. We grow spiritually. As I look at this prayer that Paul prayed, I sense a concern that Paul had for the people. A love that Paul had for the people. We look in the first chapter, Paul prayed a prayer to the people there, or for the people there. It was a prayer for knowledge. Now he's praying a prayer so they would grow spiritually. Inside they could grow. Now I guess I want to challenge each one of us here this morning, and I challenged you with this before. Am I praying for my brothers and sisters? Am I praying like Paul prayed here, that we would seek the Father? That we would have an inner growth in our hearts? Let's go to verse 14. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, Paul knew his place with Christ. He came seeking the Father. When we come to the Father, we come on our knees. Now, I'm not suggesting that every time you pray, you have to be on your knees. But it's a heart condition. When I come to the Father, I come to Him in humility. If I come to the Father with an attitude of pride, He's not going to hear me. But coming to the Father in prayer is an act of humility. It's allowing God to do what He desires to do with our lives. The man who humbly bows before God will walk upright before men. Let me say that again. The man who humbly bows before God will walk upright before men. Prayer is one of the most special gifts that God has given us. Because when we pray, our weary souls are transported from our struggles in life to our Heavenly Father. Do you think He cares about us? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 11. Let's just read a couple of verses there in Matthew 11. Verse 28. Verse 28 here says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That to me is a verse of peace, a verse of comfort. Bringing our trials and our struggles to Him. He will give us rest. We don't have to face Him on our own. There is strength in this. If we back up to verse 12 there in chapter 3, he says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him." Prayer allows us in our weakness to come boldly before the Father. So many times, we feel like we have to be the ones working through this. We have to be the ones that make the decisions. But God says, "No, bring your trials to me. I'll help you through them. I'll take care of your issues for you." I believe Paul is at a real crucial point with the Ephesian people here. He's at a place here where he has just shared, I shared this a little bit ago, but he has just shared about the mystery, about how beautiful it is that we can also have salvation. The Gentiles can also have salvation. Now he's going, I'm excited about this next part. Now he's going, in the next chapter, he's going to go into the part where he lays out the walk of life. It's so easy for churches today to take this first part, hallelujah, I can go to heaven because I'm a Gentile. God has made a way for me to go to heaven also. And then we lay down chapter 4 through 6 and we don't look into that. It's so easy for us to do that because chapter 4 through 6 has laid out, he's laid out a whole bunch of things that we need to walk in. I guess I challenge us as a church this morning and in the coming weeks as we look into this, that we don't leave things laying here at the end of chapter 3, but that we're willing to pick up whatever it takes to follow what he has in the rest of the Ephesians here. What a blessing it is to be able to walk as he teaches. Sometimes we're at a place in our life where things look too big. The steps that God has placed in front of us. Scott made a comment this morning that stuck out to me. He said, sometimes we get up in the morning, and Scott, I may not say this exactly like you said it, but sometimes we get up in the morning, we don't exactly feel like doing what God is asking us to do. Maybe there is some kind of ministry. My wife was telling me about a lady. Every morning when she got up, she would ask God, lead me to somebody. Make me useful to somebody. I don't do that. I think that would be a good thing for every one of us to do. When we get up in the morning, God, make me useful to somebody today. We have the answer. We've got it right here in the Word of God. But yet we don't share with those around us. I challenge us this morning. God, make us useful. Look for areas to be able to reach out. I read one of my friends north of here drives truck. This week he got stuck somewhere to unload. Those of you who drive truck know what I'm talking about. I've never been able to do this, so I don't know where it's at here, but he was at an unloading dock somewhere, and there was a long line of semis, and he had to wait. Does it irritate you guys that drive truck when you have to wait? Yeah, okay. Amen. Thank you. He made the comment on this Facebook page. He said, when you're placed in this line of trucks to unload, look for what God has sent you there for. He got out of his truck, and I get chills about what he had to say. He got out of his truck, and he found a guy that was hurting, another truck driver. He had run over somebody and killed him. And he's had this horrible fear of driving because it could happen again. He went back and he spent time with this guy. He said, we spend an hour between the trailers praying, working through this thing. He said, by the time this guy left, the fear was gone. He looked for an opportunity to share Christ. He said, about an hour later, we talked on the phone and said, this guy just couldn't shut up. He was so excited because he was so free inside and he no longer was scared of driving. Look for the opportunities. And it's through those opportunities that we grow too. We grow spiritually. The blessing it is to be able to allow God to use us. Verse 16 there in Ephesians 3 says that He would grant you. And there's a whole couple of verses here that kind of flow together, but we're going to pull them apart and try to keep them together at the same time. It says that He would grant you. I want us to understand that word grant. That He would give you. He would give you. So many times we hear of men that are self-made men. We think about that in an earthly sense. But how many times do we hear of people that are self-made spiritually? We're wrong, folks. We are not self-made spiritually. This is something that we are granted. I may think I have deep knowledge of the Scriptures, but without your mind, you would not have this. God granted that to you. You may think you have wisdom, but it's only what God has given you. We cannot earn this. It is granted to us. God gives it to us. Let's continue. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. We all have wealth. It doesn't matter who we are here this morning. We have wealth. But let's look at the riches here that he's talking about. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Because of His great wealth, because of the riches of His glory, you and I have redemption. There is no other way but because of His riches, through Him. He says also in that verse, the forgiveness of sins. I need that daily. Because of His riches, I can have forgiveness. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All your need. How many times do you think God is just waiting to give to us, to help us? But He can't because we're too stubborn. Because I want to do it myself. Can we let go and allow God to take our trials, our struggles, and supply our needs for us? We continue to grow spiritually. Thinking about His wealth. We had the offering this morning. We gave. And I hope we gave from our heart. I understand there is a place where we have to stop giving because of our incomes. We can only go so far. Think a little bit about Bill Gates. I don't know how much money that Bill Gates has, but it's a lot. Way more than I'm ever going to see. But imagine Bill Gates giving out of his heart. I don't know how much that would be. But then we look at what he says here in the Scripture, according to the riches of His glory. My Father is the richest man that ever lived. Your Father, if you're serving Him, is the richest man that ever lived. His riches are endless. And brothers and sisters, this morning, we are adopted into that family. Our riches are endless. Spiritually speaking, there is no end. We can be part of that. Now let's connect these again, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. We face trials all the time, don't we? At least I do. Many enemies, thoughts that Satan brings to me. How many times have I tried and failed in some trial that I've faced? And because I chose not to seek help, I didn't overcome. There's great wealth there for us to grab onto. Great wealth. How many pastors do you know that have fallen because they didn't choose to seek help? We hear this over and over. Mega church pastors that fall into sin. How many husbands, how many men, how many ladies have fallen prey to pornography because they chose not to seek help? Friends, we have so much for us to grab onto. I guess my plea goes out to you, to myself. When we face issues in life, let's grab onto that wealth that's there. His riches are beyond what we can imagine. The strength of man is inadequate for the battles faced in life. Of ourselves, we can't do it. We don't have enough. But with Him, we do. We need divine strength, a strength that can only be acquired by seeking the Father through prayer. Again, this is spiritual growth. We need that prayer for strength. We need it to grow in faith. Strength for the inner man. When I think of the inner man, as I was reading through this, I had to think of the outer man. You can see me, you can see each other here. That's the outer man. And we like to make ourselves look really good, don't we? That's okay. But what about the inner man, the part that has to do with God, with salvation? What about the inner man? Am I grabbing the strength that God is offering to me to grow strong in Him so the inner man is changed? I'll be honest with you, not always are we totally free from sin. even though we've given our heart to God, allowed Him to have the key to our heart, we mess up. But He's always there because of His grace, because of His riches. He can see the end product. Sometimes we can't. But my question is, how willing am I to allow Him to take me and use me for His glory, to grow me? Verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, Solomon is dedicating the temple of God. It was beautiful. They had finished it. And he's praying for this to be a dwelling place for God. Paul was praying over the church, praying that Christ would dwell in their hearts. How? By faith. When I think back to the Garden of Eden, I see Adam and Eve in the garden. It was beautiful. They're walking along and Jesus comes and He walks. God comes and He walks next to them. He's with them. There's a connection there. But what happened when sin came into the garden? They were booted out, weren't they? There was a separation there. Christ is the repairer of the breach. Now He comes to purify us and to again fill us with His presence in the Holy Spirit through faith. Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So the question I'm asking is He dwelling in me? We all know the answer ourselves, whether He's dwelling within us or not. Have we given our inner self to Him and allowed Him to fill us, the inner man, with His glory, with His presence? I have to think so many times of the potter and the potter's wheel. We're that lump of clay. He puts it on there and it could be a tough lump of clay. But as it starts spinning and as He puts water on that and starts shaping it, we have the choice to fight back. Or we have the choice to allow Him to shape it and make a beautiful vessel. Sometimes we see the potter, he's shaping that and it's spinning. And it looks like he really doesn't know what he's doing. It's spinning and spinning. And all of a sudden there's a flaw in there. And he has to take his knife and cut some of that off and remold it and re-add it back into the potter's wheel, into the lump that was there. Sometimes God has to cut away some of that filth that's in our life. And He has to remold it, reshape it, and make a beautiful vessel out of His children. That brings us freedom. Freedom like it talks about in Galatians 5:1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We all know bondage is not what we want. Bondage is tiring. It's destructive. It drags us down. It brings us loneliness. If we truly understand what sort of companion, counselor, and friend we have in the Holy Spirit, it would banish all thoughts of loneliness forever. And then he talks about a tree there in verse 18, I believe it is. I'm sorry. Verse 17, he does not talk about a tree. I talk about a tree. He talks about the roots here. Rooted and grounded in love. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with the saints. Rooted and grounded in love. When I think of this, I think of a tree that the roots grow deep. The other winter, it was cold enough, we lost a tree in our front yard. A tree that I really liked. In the fall, it was beautiful. The next spring, it was dead. About 3 weeks ago, I got out my saw and I went out there and I cut the tree down. And I decided I'm going to take the stump out myself. I'm not going to pay somebody to come grind it. I can do it myself. So I spend about 3 afternoons, probably 15 minutes to 2 hours each afternoon. I started digging around that tree. I worked my way all the way around the tree and I got all the roots chopped. And it was starting to get loose. I asked another older gentleman, I said, this kind of tree, does it have a tap root? No. He said it's just roots going out. And he wasn't purposely feeding me the untruth. But this tree had a taproot. I had everything loose on the outside, I believe. Finally, we hooked the truck up to it. And Austin made quite a few pretty hard jars until it finally broke loose. After it was loose and we pulled it out, I looked. Yeah, there was a pretty big taproot right in the center. This tree was rooted and grounded. He didn't come out easy. He's asking us to be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. And then he says in verse 18, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. And I'll be honest with you, we could spend all morning on just this verse. But we'll just look at it for a little bit. What is the breadth of His love? When I think about Him hanging on the cross, His arms are outstretched. The breadth of His love, it covers everything, everybody. There is nobody left out. First Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. There is nobody that He doesn't want saved. It covers everything and everybody. Every soul. That's how wide the breadth of His love is. How about the length? I look back into the past, and my mind only lets me go so far. My mind's not sharp enough to go far, very, very far. It just goes so far. Maybe back to the Garden of Eden. We don't know what was before then. I believe that He always was, and I think you do too. But what was before that? We don't know. But His love was there. As far as we can see into eternity, His love will never end. It's always going to be there. That's how long His love is. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. How about the depth? It reaches to the lowest of sinners, into the darkest of humanity. None is out of His reach. I had to think of David Wilkerson, sensing a call to go into New York, to go into the ghettos, to the gang leaders, to go down to the slums. It wasn't beautiful. Actually, it was life-threatening. He walked into some situations that were terrible. But God's love reached down into the lowest. I don't know how many of you have read the book, The Cross and the Switchblade. The story of Nicky Cruz giving his life to the Lord. Being one of the leaders, the gang leaders. One that we would think there is no way. Scott, Daryl, your families, the ones that you see that you think can't be reached, they can. There's never anybody that can't be reached. David Wilkerson spent time with them. And out of this came Teen Challenge and a couple of, at least one other ministry. But it didn't happen without David being willing to be grown, to be stretched. To be spiritually stretched by God. What about the height? Romans 3:21 says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. To him that overcometh. Yeah, we can imagine us as a church here. We're overcomers. And when God calls us home, we can go sit with Him on His throne. That's what it says. I'm not sure how that's going to play out. But what about the one that's involved with ISIS right now that's killing people? Would I want him at the same place? I challenge us this morning. That's also for him. That's also for him. Maybe he needs to hear from us. What if? What if God is calling us to speak to Him? That's also for Him. God's love knows no boundaries. And then the last three verses here say, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ as deep as we can. Yeah, it's beyond our knowledge. We can't get it all. But what He wants to give to us, we need to understand, we need to take. And it says there that there's going to be a fullness, there's a completeness in our lives because we have understood, we've allowed Him to take care of it. We've allowed Him to be in our hearts. I believe sometimes God's just waiting for the go-ahead from us to fill us. But our challenge is, how busy are we in life? Are we so busy we don't have time for it? We sing the song, "We Place You in the Highest Place." Last Sunday, Tony led that song. That song's been on my heart all week. God's been asking me, "Lynn, do you really place me on the highest place?" And I have to confess that I don't always do that. Are we placing Him in the highest place? Because He is the great High Priest. I guess my challenge to each one of us here this morning is, are we living life to the fullest? We have one opportunity. Are we spending time with Him? I shared here a while back, and I'm going to have to step back a little bit. I shared with you here a while back how that we need to dedicate lots of time to the Father in prayer. And I'm not going to say that's not right. But I'm going to challenge us with something else. Are we spending quality time with God in prayer? Fervent prayer. Even if it's only 5 minutes, do we mean business with Him? I'm not saying I want you to back off from your prayers and only make it 5 minutes, but I'm going to challenge you, is your prayer fervent? Are you really in tune with God? And I'm asking myself those questions. I'm not pointing fingers at you. Am I really in tune with God? Because if I'm not, I'm not going to grow spiritually. Do I want to live in victory? Do I want that inner man to be filled? I'm going to share a story with you, and I hope this story makes sense to you like it did to me. As I read over it this morning during Sunday school, I thought, oh my, they may not get this one. But I'm going to read this story, and I want you to think it through a little bit. Maybe it'll come to you a little bit later. A group of alumni, highly established in their careers, got together to visit their old university professor. Conversation soon turned into complaints about stress in work and life. Offering his guests coffee and an assortment of cups, some porcelain, some plastic, some glass, some crystal, some plain looking, some expensive, telling them to help themselves to the coffee. When all the students had a cup of coffee in hand, the professor said, "If you notice, all the nice-looking, expensive cups were taken, leaving behind all the plain and cheap ones. While it is normal for you to want only the best for yourselves, that is the source of your problems and stress. Be assured that the cup itself adds no quality to the coffee. In most cases, it is just more expensive, and in some cases even hides what we drink. What all of you really wanted was coffee, not the cup. But you consciously went for the best cups. And then you began eyeing each other's cups. Now consider this," he continued. "Life is the coffee. The jobs, money, and position in society are the cups. They are just tools to hold and contain life. And the type of cup we have does not define nor change the quality of life we live. Sometimes, by concentrating only on the cup, we fail to enjoy the coffee God has provided for us." I guess with this, I ask the question. We are to be concerned what we look like on the outside. But I ask this question. Is it such a big thing for me to look good to others, and for the inside to not be good coffee? I challenge you to let's be desiring to fill ourselves with good coffee strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Would you stand with me this morning as we pray? Father God, again, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, that You want to grow us. Father, You're not satisfied with allowing us to become Your children, and then that's as far as it goes. But Lord, I believe You want to work in each one of our hearts, even here this morning, and You want us to grow in You. You want us to be spiritually sound, to continue our walk with You daily, Father. We want to bless You and thank You, Lord, for the sacrifice that You made for us and making a way for us, Lord, to be Your children. Father, would You take each heart here this morning? Would You help us, Father, to open ourselves to You and to allow You to shape, reshape, and mold whatever it takes, Lord, to grow strong in You. We bless You and we love You. In Your name we pray. Amen.